Start your day to remind the Chaf Ches Cheshvan Tavshin Pei Daled Rav Matisyo Silberger.
Shuz the Chosh Ha'olam. Pash has told us, we know the story about Esav and Yaakov. And Yaakov took the bochus from Yitzchak, and Esav was very upset, and he said, "Yikrevu yemei evil avi, I'm waiting for the day my father Yitzchak is going to die, and then I'm going to kill my brother Yaakov." Right. So Rashi explains, why did Esav say he's going to wait till his father Yitzchak is going to die? Because he didn't want to make his father upset by killing Yaakov. So that's why he wanted to wait for Yitzchak to die. But the Lashon HaPasuk, Yemei Evil Avi, is a bit schwer. So Kili Yaakov, he asks, what's the Lashon Yemei Evil Avi? It doesn't say, till my father is going to die. So Kili Yaakov, Dr. Moya de Gerot, Esav said, as long Yaakov is learning Torah, there's nothing I can do to him. There's no way for me I can kill Yaakov as long as he's learning Torah. When my father Yitzchak is going to die, he's going to become an Ovel. Now Ovel is not allowed to learn Torah. He's not going to learn Torah, I'm going to kill him. Kol Yaakov, you die with the Esav. As long as he's learning Torah, there's no mess. Oh, very good. That's what they ask on the Kli Yoko. Thank you. There's a bomber that's on the Kli Yoko. There's a nice cash. We know Ovel is not pshat that he can sit on the couch not learning Torah. Ovel has a locha that he should only learn Hilchas Avelet, can't learn the rest of the Torah. But Yaakov Avinu, even when he's an Ovel, believe me, he's going to carry on learning Torah. So what's the ace of saying I'm going to kill him when he's an Ovel, because then he's not learning Torah? He's still going to learn Torah. He's just going to be limited to learn Hilchas Avel. Shtei Torah Yisoid. If you don't learn Besimcha, you don't have the same schus. An Ovel can't learn Besimcha. He's learning Hilchas Avel. He's not having the same Simchas HaTorah like a regular person. That's Esav's Cheshvan. As long as Yaakov is learning Besimcha, there's no way I can kill him. Once he's going to be Ovel, even though he's going to learn, he's not going to learn Besimcha, then I'm going to kill him. The Shaila is, so why did Rivka tell Yaakov, and then go to Lavan? As long as Yitzchak is alive, there's nothing to be scared of. Yaakov already went to Lavan right away. Why did she send him to Lavan? Let him stay here, because we know Esau said, as long as Yitzchak is alive, he's not going to kill him.
But the moment Yitzchak died,
that's what he had. When you see that he becomes ill or whatever, but the moment, why did she send him away? So there's a Moedig and Medrash. The Medrash stayed as though Esau went to Shmuel, and he told Shmuel, you know what, I can't kill my father Yitzchak. You, Yishmael, you go kill Yitzchak, and you kill Yitzchak. I'm going to be able to kill Yaakov. And who is going to be left? Just us two, and we're going to divide between us all the money and everything. And the Medrash goes further. It says, Esav really had in the back mind that, you know what, after Yishmael is going to kill my father, I'm going to turn around to Yishmael and say, hey, you killed my father, I'm going to kill you. And who is going to be left? Just me, and I'm going to be the man. So that Rivka knew that, Cheshbon, and therefore Rivka had to send away Yaakov in order it shouldn't happen that he's going to get Yishmael to kill Yitzchak and all. Good, that's on the Pasha. Today we'd like to speak about something called a will, a tzavoah. People get scared when we speak about writing a will. The poets can say that it is a skula for Rivka's Yom is to write a will. It's something in Mitzvah Shemen should be gesund und stark, gesund und zwanzig. But we want to explain a bit the idea, what does it mean and how does it work to write a tzavoah, a will. We've got in the Torah, Parshas Yerusha. Parshas Yerusha, according to the Torah, is that a person is nifta, He has sons and daughters. Only the sons are Yoyosh, get the money. All the money goes to the sons. The daughters don't get anything. So to the wife doesn't Yashin, doesn't get any of the money, of her husband's money. So all the assets of the person goes to the son, not to the wife, not to the daughter. There's another halacha that when there's a bechoy, the bechoy gets pishnaim, double of all the other brothers. Yes, so according to the law, by the goyim, it doesn't work like that. Person dies, half goes to the estates, goes to his wife, and the rest gets divided equally between the sons and daughter. So we've got here a problem between the din Torah and legally how they're going to give out the money. And that's going to be a big clash. It's going to be cause a lot of trouble often. There's no will that, according to the Torah, all the money goes to is owned by the sons. But legally, they're going to give money to the wife, to the daughters. And they're really not allowed to receive that money. So if you want to see why they will, then you're going to make sure that you don't going to have a clash between the din Torah and the Goyshe. Even though we know there's something called Dina Machusa Dina, when it comes to Yerusha, then we don't use Dina Machusa Dina. There's many reasons. One of the reasons, and the main reason, is because Dina Machusa Dina doesn't work when it's against the Mefurash Mitzvah and the Torah. If the Torah tells you clearly how to divide the Yerusha, then Dina Machusa Dina is not going to help us. So here we've got Mefurash Halacha in the Torah, well, how it works. So therefore, we're not taking into the halach of Din Machus Din is not going to help here. So we've got one reason why a person should write a will to make sure that he shouldn't have a problem legally how the money is going to go from him to his kids. And also nowadays, the daughters are going to be very upset if they don't get any, and the wife, they don't get any of his assets. What? Yeah, there is a takona, but it's not that we're going to divide the money. So the shaila is now, because a person decides he wants to write a will, how does it work? How is this piece of paper where he says that, let's say he writes, he wants to, his daughters and his sons, say everyone should get equal share in their assets. Well, how does it work in halacha? How is Beistin going to use that savor? And what power does it have in the Torah? You know, in Torah, there's a halacha, he can give a matana, he can give presents to someone, but only something you own now. So there's a halacha, dover shaloi bo le'olam. I can't tell you, I'm giving you now the item I'm going to buy tomorrow. If I've got now an item, I've got now my pen, I can tell you, here, I'm giving it to you, and you make a kinyan and you coin it. So I give you a present. Number one, you need a kinyan. Number two, it has to be something which he owns now. You can't tell someone, something which I'm going to own tomorrow, I'm going to give you. So if a person wants to buy in the will, he doesn't speak only about the assets he owns at that time. Mit Hashem is going to live for another 120 years. So he wants to write the will now for what's going to happen in many, many years' time, which is a dover shaloi bo le'olam. But how can he say now what should happen with that money? In Hichas Matana, it has to be that you own it now, and we need a Ma'aseh Kinyan. What? We're going to explain it. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to just explain why it can't be maton. It's definitely not maton, as you say. It doesn't work with maton. We're going to try to explain how does it work. So there's a halacha of mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis. Mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis is, there's a din that we should fulfill what the meis wants, what he told us. Now, Mefush Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rishonim and the Gemara, that this halacha is only by what the Rishonim called hushlash. If he gave over the money to a third party, and he tells him what to do with the money, then there's a mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis that you should fulfill what he said. If his money is still, all his assets, everything is sitting at home, and he just says on a paper, he tells someone, you know what, this and this should happen with the money after I'm nifter, then there's no mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis. The one of the pshatim is because people talk all the time, and sometimes they mean it, sometimes they don't really mean it, sometimes they're just going to keep the changing their mind. As we know, in like by a kinyan, you need a ma'aser kinyan. Whenever I give you a present, you have to do a ma'aser kinyan. So too, mitzvah lekayem v'am eis, we need some sort of proof to make sure that he really meant what he said. When he gives it over to some, to a third party, and he tells him what to do with the money, so we show that he seriously means what he said. So we know there's a gemiras that we've got proof that what he said is what he really means. So the problem is, again, when a person writes a will, it's just a piece of paper, but all the assets, everything is still by him, so you don't have any hushlash lika. He hasn't given over to anyone his assets. So how does mutzeh lekayem divrei ma'aser going to help us? So here we've got a moedig haloch in England. There's a Rav Heinrich Padua in his Sefer Cheshev Eifert came along with a moedig einfall idea. He says in England, when you write a will, you have to appoint someone, executor. Yeah, he's going to be a legal power over all his assets to do whatever he's been told to do with the money. So the Chesh Reifer tells his Mechadish, as much as the Yishoyim say that if I give it over to someone, I tell him what to do, it works. So here, even though I'm keeping the money by me, but legally I'm giving over the power to someone else, so that's enough to be considered hushlash, that I'm giving over to a third party. I'm giving it over to him, and I'm giving him power, because legally he's going to have the koyach, he's going to have legal power to divide the money. So that's like what the Yishonim call hushlash, and therefore every will is considered and based in mitzvah lekayem divrei ma'aser, and even in Choshen Mishpat, we're going to listen to whatever he wrote in the paper because of the halacha of mitzvah lekayem divrei ma'aser. He brings there in the tshuva, interesting, he brings the Achiezer, Chaim Oizer. Chaim Oizer also in his days was wondering, how does it work? How does Pasdin going to use a will, a tzavua? And he said, a different word, he said, since din and machuse, the Goyshe court are going to listen to what a person writes in his on his will, so then the zicha gmiros das. What's the idea of giving it over to someone else? We explained before is because we have to make sure that what he said he really means. So here, Dr. Achiezer, even though he didn't give it to anyone, but such document is binding, and he knows when he signs his will that he's going to need to. It's going to happen because in court they're going to fulfill whatever he wrote in his will. So he zicha hazik miyos das. That's Achiezer's word. Cheshev Eifer says a different word, which works in England, that since there's someone there, you're appointing someone else, that he's going to have the legal power over the money, over the assets, so therefore it's like hushlash lekach, which is it's a bit of a chiddush, because the Rishonim always say that when he's still alive, he's giving over his assets to someone. Here, this person, this what? Yeah, it's all the Tosfos, all the Rishonim, but it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. It's a Tosfos in a few places, and Rosh, and it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, and the two places in Reishon and again in Reishon and Gimel, I think.
Roy, how's health, Roy?
What? Oh no! So if it works as mitzvah lekayem divrei ma'aser, then it doesn't. It's not like a matana of a dovah shaloi b'olam that you can't give over to someone a dovah shaloi b'olam. Mitzvah lekayem divrei ma'aser is going to work even on any assets he doesn't own yet at that time, because he said his will be that whatever he's going to have when his nifta should be divided between his kids. Yeah. So it's a mitzvah to fulfill his word. It's not a kinyan. What?
Yeah,
doesn't make a difference. Mitzvah lekayem divrei ma'aser is not.
Achamisa, things
come
achamisa.
Things come achamisa. How does he get? How can a person get? Does mitzvah lekayem divrei ma'aser include the yerusha he's going to get from his yerushim achamisa? I don't know. That's a good shaila. His zikha helps for whatever he's going to get. If he writes a will today, and he's only nifted the mitzvah Hashem many years later, even though then the mitzvah l'kanti v'ameis is going to include anything which he received up to the day he's nifted. That's for sure.
The Torah says, do not give to the daughters. You don't give daughters. And then
he
said,
"This
is kind of a mess. You should get the daughter."
He owns his money. No, we'll get that in a point. We'll speak about it in a few minutes. There is a halacha, another halacha that a person shouldn't say, even though there's a mitzvah kind of amazed, and we're going to listen to him. Person shouldn't go and be mevatel a mitzvah. And we've got mitzvah Yerusha, and now you're telling us to do something else. So we have to listen to, as much as you can give a present. If you tell, there's a mitzvah kind of amazed, you're going to tell us what to do with your money. We're going to listen to you. But there's a halacha lechatchila. The person shouldn't do it. Let's just say already now because he brought up. So it's brought down, the ktsois brings down the tashbits, one of the Rishonim, because there's a mitzvah Yerusha, a person should leave a bit of his money to the side, and that money he should tell the Yoshim to divide according to the Torah's Yerusha. Meaning as though, he says in his days was Dalet Zerubim, it speaks how much is in our days, very unclear. But Moshe writes in one place, $1,000 for every son. But yeah, let's imagine $1,000 for every son. So you should write in the will, I want all my assets to be divided equally between my son and daughter. Besides, whatever, let's say he has five sons. $5,000. I'm leaving it aside that money should be divided according to the mitzvahs Yerusha in the Torah. Well, yeah. And the mail is on the post scheme that I've got mitzvah kind of amazed, but I'm not mevatel the mitzvah in ganzen, because I left some money aside, and that money I'm going to use for the mitzvah, the Yerusha. I'm going to divide according to the mitzvah how the Torah would like the money to go.
It's not shady. How can you give to the daughter?
His keep, so that's a paskin, and there's a big tumult about it, but as always, gepaskin, that as long a person leaves a bit of money to the side, the question again, also depends on every person, how rich he is.
You
can bear
a certain amount, which is a halachic distribution.
He's mekayim
the
min, and he makes sure that there should be shalom between the daughters and sons.
And what you can do then is that the bit you give, which is not the halacha, if you like, you can equalize whatever you give to your children. You mekayim and your son.
The mitzvah lekandi v'ameis, we're going to listen to whatever he says. And there's another halacha brought down in two, which is very important for Shalom. The Torah brings down, it's again based on the Gemara, that we know the halacha, I think, that Olam lo yeshana adam ben ben abonim. We learn from Yosef, a person shouldn't change and give one son more than one child more than the others. So the Torah says, it's very important, when you divide your money, give everyone the same. Person has one son, he's he loves him because he helps him, whatever. Give him a present before, under the table, or give him something nice, or you know you have one son who or daughter has special needs and she needs more, give her a present now. But when it comes, Acha Moise, in the will, make equal, that everyone should get the same, otherwise it causes a lot of trouble. What? Yeah, but usually even, what? The two. Two brings it down. Lo Yeshan, I shouldn't give one more than all. Oh, so going back, so we're trying to explain, a person goes and he writes a will, how is it going to work in based in? How is it going to based in consider that will? So we go a Cheshav Eifod, who says that it works medin mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis. The Yishoinim and the Shulchan Aruch tells you that mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis is only when you give over your money to someone, to a third party. So the Cheshav Eifod came along with his idea that in England, you don't have that problem, because since you appointed someone, that he's going to have the legal power over your assets, so it's like what the Shulchan Aruch tells you, that you're giving over the money to a third party. And we've got two problems here. Number one, Cheshav Eifod is a big chiddush, And there are plenty poskim who disagree with his chiddush, and they say that hushlash is only if you give him over the money, mechayim. This chiddush is not masach. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, let's say, based in my telling, we don't consider the chiddush of Avhein Pado. I'm very sorry. And then we're back to square one. Based in will tell you, this will is not recognized in Mechosh Mishpat.
Real estate.
We can't, yeah, that's a problem. And there's another problem is, often people have assets not under their name. Right? Someone owns a property, whatever reason, I'm not going to go into details now, it's not under his name, and then you don't have the whole idea is because legal power you're giving over to someone else. But legal power is bind to whatever legally is owned by you. If on the paper doesn't mention your name, so no one's gonna this fellow is not gonna have any power on your on this property, and then you're not gonna have the mitzvah lekayem divrei ames. So there's something called shtar chatzizocho. Shtar chatzizocho is as I'm explaining in short. It's just to enforce in based in to fulfill what's written in the will. So shtar chatzizocho is I'm writing in a shtar that I owe £1 million to my daughter. Well, £1 million depends. Some people have to buy £2 million. According to how much? A large amount of money. Unless, so he's telling his kids, he owns his daughter £1 million. Unless you give your daughter, or unless you're going to fulfill what I wrote in my will. Then you don't need to pay. Then I don't owe my daughter. Then I'm chayv myself. I'm saying that I'm a chaymazah, I'm to my daughter £1 million if he's not going to fulfill what I wrote in my will. So it's just enforcing them to keep what he says in the will in halachically. Then you come to Beis Din. Beis Din might tell you, as we said before, that we're so sorry, but this tzavua, what you wrote in the will, you wrote in the Chosh Mishpat, it doesn't have any power. So then you go. Then the fellow is going to pull out the Shtar Chatzizocho. And the Shtar Chatzizocho, the idea is that the Yoshim have to fulfill it, because otherwise they have to pay £1 million. So that's what. So that's the idea of the Chatzizocho. He writes in the Shtar. Whatever, this chatzizocho, it doesn't need to be recognized in a Goyish court, right? It's just to make sure that in Beis Din, we have to fulfill his will. So this shah chatzizocho, it's called chatzizocho, interesting, because it used to be in olden days that they used to give the daughters only half of the boys. Nowadays, that's how our world is. We give equal share, equal right to the. We give the daughters and the boys the same amount. Used at the time, as we're going back now many, many years, when the idea started a few hundred years ago, then they used to still give the daughters a bit, but only half of what the boys get. That's why it's called chatzizocho. In order that we should see, because according to the Torah, the daughters don't get anything. So, but they wanted to give something, but not the same as the boys, so they used to give them chatzizocho. But we're using nowadays the same idea. And it seems like in olden days, they even used to write this at a time when the daughter gets married. Like there's something called the nedunia, when you marry off your child, daughter, you give her money. So they used to buy this shtar chatzizocho by the chasna, that the daughter knows that she's eventually going to get something. And we don't do that anymore. So whenever a person writes a will, if he wants to make sure, he shouldn't get stuck. Either he shouldn't get stuck with properties that are not under his name, or he shouldn't get stuck with a Beis Din who don't recognize or don't agree to the psak of Avhein Padua. So you got the backup of this shtar chatzizocho, where they enforce the Yoshim to fulfill whatever is written in the will. Could just finish off a short thing on the parsha. In Tazam, we're talking about writing a will, it's a war. This week's parsha, Yaakov turns around to Esav and he says, you know what, do you mind to sell me your b'choyah? Well, look, Esav, anyway, I'm going to die tomorrow, I don't need the b'choyah. This is a goyish zach. Tomorrow I'm going to die, so I don't. But the yidden fakir, whenever a person thinks about the yoy misa, then it brings a person to tshuva. We know the Gemara says, that it's a Mishnah, I think. Rabbi Eliezer said, so it's Talmidim, we should do tshuva a day before you're going to die. So Talmidim asked, we don't know when we're going to die. So forget, every day should be tshuva. So but that by Yidden forget that we always prepare ourselves for the Yom Yisrael. So I should help everyone should be zeicher to live with 120 gesund and stark.
Still alive.